Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homan and Shane Bacon, the production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, we welcome you to the Get a Grip podcast with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. First one, Max, and a good time to do it.
Great time.
Coming off a tie six this week at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Obviously, we're going to touch a little bit on that. Your second time playing in it, which is wild. I was out there. I have never followed a professional golfer more in my entire life than I followed you this week. There was a point where I was hoping you didn't think it was weird that I was out there but I mean, I was trying to get, you know, fans and how Max played. And there was a moment where I thought he wasn't going to make the cut and I was getting pretty nervous, but a great week all in all, especially on the weekend. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I wanted to start though. I get this question a lot from people. How do you guys know each other? I mean, obviously there's been a social media relationship and we have a lot of fun on that. I even had one of the walking officials with you this on Sunday in the final round. Said, I always see him ragging on you on Twitter. I mean, that's been a part of our relationship, but I just wanted to kind of like let you tell the people how we became, you know, social media friends, buddies, all that, and why we kind of decided to start doing something like this.
Yeah, and like the weird day and age we live in, I have friends that I've never met before through social media. You were one of them, a year and a half ago or so. We have very similar humor. We both love sports, both golf and otherwise. I actually was with Solly from our new mega rival, No Laying Up Pod.
He's put it out there early.
Yeah, I was with him at we're playing golf in Jack's, and I told him I was moving out to Scottsdale, and he said, "You need to hang out with Shane. You guys are gonna hit it off." And you kind of get that a lot, you know, it just as people, we're like, "Oh, you're here, you need to hang out with this person." And I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, "Hey, I've got my friends, I'm good." But I did, like I said, know you through Twitter. So I felt like, all right, you know what? I actually might take a shot at this thing. And we ended up playing and hit it off just like we did on online. This sounds so weird. It sounds like a Tinder profile.
It does sound like
we're creepier.
It sounds kind of creepy. Yeah, we were buddies online, and then we met in human form, and it was okay.
It was still okay.
Well, you know, I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I was kind of writing out and this is weird, like our friendship timeline, if you will. And before even being buddies or whatever, I mean, I reached out to you years ago when I wrote a story about Tiger Woods pulling out of the Safeway event. Up in Northern California, I wrote a piece. I was flying to Northern California to cover Tiger's event because he was making a return there.
I love that it's Tiger's event.
And he WD'd. I'm mid-flight on like a Southwest flight on Wi-Fi. I emailed my editor at the time, and I said, I don't know what to do. He said, "Well, write some story about it." So I wrote this whole horrible piece now, but it was all about how Tiger's done. And you were the alternate that got in. And I reached out to you for a quote about getting in, and you gave me a quote then. And then I ran into you years ago at the Walker Cup when we were covering that at a golf course.
LA.
You know a little bit.
Yeah.
He has a course record?
The
tournament course record?
I have the tournament course record, yeah. But they played match play, so maybe somebody beat it.
I found out something interesting this week from you. I had lunch with you and your unbelievable caddy.
Teepee.
At Teepee, which we hope sponsors this podcast at some point. But you don't even have the course record at the course you guys grew up on. Is that right?
This is tough. This is early on.
I've been shook by it the whole week.
So Joe, my caddy, Joe Griner, I'm sure I'll talk about him quite often. He's a really good golfer. But the course we grew up on is a par 61 executive golf course. But we also have this awesome 9-hole par 3 course. And it's the most coveted course record in Southern California, as far as, you know, we're concerned. And he shot 19 once, which is 8 under for people that are not great at math. And so it obviously was a big deal. I was super jealous and still really am. But we played sometime soon after and played for $1, and the other person had to sign it. And he made me sign it to Mr. 19. And he used to keep it in the front of his wallet. So every time we would hang out, I have to look at it. And it's tough to swallow because it's it's my favorite golf course in the world. It's this absolute dump of a par three course that if you played it, you would think it was the coolest place you've been. So it's one of those types of golf courses, and he's got the course record, and it's tough. So it's weird that I have one at one of the more esteemed golf courses in all of Southern California, and I'm extremely jealous of my bearded friend Joe.
Yeah, it's fair to say, and I'm going to put this out there, he's a good player in his own regard.
In his own right.
In his own right. He's a good player in his own right. He's got some game.
He shot 4-under at Whisper Rock on Tuesday in the Skins game from the very back tees. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a lefty. You told me he's a lefty. Go low.
Yeah, you guys are like the opposite golfers. He hits it super short. You hit it super far. He will take 4-iron from 170 and you'll hit lob wedge from 150. You guys couldn't be more different, but you guys would actually make a really good team. But yeah, he is actually a really good golfer. I think caddies these days are more seem to be ex professional golfers in some form. So he's obviously a great addition to the team.
So I wanted to ask you, if somebody at home was wondering, why would you, a guy that won on the PGA Tour last year, that has established himself as an entertaining fella online, along with being, I mean, I would say you're entertaining with the stuff you do for the tour and sponsors and everything. Why would you want to take on something like a weekly podcast? Because, you know, listen, I'm going to say this right now. It's work, man. It's going to be work. I mean, took me 30 minutes to set this stuff up.
Yeah. It was nice to watch you do it. I had no chance. I'm not tech savvy at all. I guess the main idea of it is that I actually would love a hobby. You know, I obviously play golf all day, practice the rest of the time. So it's nice to kind of do something that isn't, I guess, watching sports or being on your phone. I'd had a couple of people approach me before about doing a podcast, and I'd actually talked to my wife, Lacey, about it a lot. And she made a great point that it is work. It's very difficult. And also, you're still trying to be the best golfer you can
right.
be. And that was my biggest hang up with other people. Because I said, I'm never going to talk about other players. I'm not going to tell stories that would ever incriminate somebody. I'm not going to give my opinion on anything, you know, on the line. Cause I need these are my colleagues
right.
and my friends. And I'll tell the funny stuff. I'll tell the things that are, you know, I think everyone would agree is completely fair game. But I don't want to hinder my career in any way. And that's why doing it with you, when you had mentioned it, I had first said that exact thing to you, and us being good friends, you made me comfortable in the sense that I wouldn't need to keep explaining that to you. I think it's difficult with some people, when you talk about doing a podcast, I could say, hey, I'm still trying to be the best golfer I can be. And this was, you know, we've been doing this now for 3-4 months talking about it and setting it up, maybe even longer. And, you know, a year ago, I understand that my golf game wasn't in a spot where people would be like, yeah, but like, let's just do the podcast. And it's like, no, I think I can keep
right.
doing what I'm doing. And that's considerably more important. But I think that in my personal opinion, and where I kind of have the knowledge that some people don't in these golf tournaments, is I think it's important to spread the news about how the tournament played, why certain people were hitting at certain spots on certain holes. You know, how, you know, I know nowadays like technology is a big talk, and how I think like feel about that, but not just me. It's like, I think that's more of like, it would be consensus of the tour minus
right.
maybe a handful of people, but I see what other people say. I watch the finish of the tournament. I see, at least for like the most part, what Webb and Tony were going through a little bit. So, I wanted to get my opinion out there. I fortunately have you, who is like a veteran at this, and you know so much more about golf that I don't know. So I thought that it would be a good pairing, where you have the knowledge I don't, and then I have the experience that you don't. So I thought that it would be a good kind of back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, let me delete. I got like 5 really incriminating questions I need to delete off my computer right now. So I thought that was exactly what you're going to dive into. it's interesting you say like being in the right place, and you know, following you this week, and I don't know. I'm so different from you in the way I view golf. And we've joked about this. We joked about it on previous podcasts that we did together when you caddied for me at the US Amateur, and like the stuff I would say to you, and it would be like these underlying negative things. And you kind of taught me that they were negative. And I did this when I caddied. I caddied on the LPGA Tour a few events back in the day for a couple of friends of mine for Erica Blassberg and Irene Cho. And there'd be moments where I'd be caddy and I would be so nervous. Like, I would be so nervous because I know if I was over the shot, I'd be nervous. And then they would flag it. And it would remind me that, you know, I'm not a professional golfer, you know, that these people are. And I had that so many times this week with you. And I mean, I want to get in to the week that was, because it was a great week. There was a moment, you know, you told me something about par fives that you and Joe talk about. And your thing is, well, I guess it's any risk reward shot, but you say, I'm not going to take on the shot if I can't make eagle. Like, why hit the shot if I can't make three? You know, if it's a tuck pin and you're just not comfortable with it. And you did that today. I mean, Sunday, you are in the tournament. Final round, Sunday, Waste Management. You live in Scottsdale. I mean, it's buzzing. It's a huge event. You know, second time playing in this thing. And you have a shot on 15 that you have a chance to possibly make an eagle and really shake stuff up. And you hit it in the water. And you made a great par up and down. But I was thinking about those words you said, you know, I have a chance to make three. And I talked to Joe after, and he said, you know, you're such a clutch player, that he feels like you're such a player that can clutch up, that he thought you would want to take the shot on just like he wanted you to. And maybe it didn't turn out the right way, but that had to have been the kind of mentality in that moment. And I just wanted to bring that up to start, because to me, it was a cool moment to see. I know it wasn't the shot that you wanted to hit, but I loved kind of the backstory of it. And seeing you guys go through it on the golf course and then seeing you try to execute it, you were trying to take on the golf shot. Maybe you don't do that a year ago.
Yeah, I actually think that was a big part of it. I would say I'm more aggressive than Joe, which I think most players are. We all think we can do things we probably can't. but yeah, we walked up there and it was kind of one of those tee shots in the back of your brain, you kind of hope you don't hit great, because it's into the wind today. So it's playing way different than the first 3 days. It was going to be a long iron or wooden, and it's obviously an island green. And you almost kind of wish you miss it a little bit so you can lay up, because it's going to be a hard shot. But I hit a good drive, and, you know, walking off the box, I knew I was going to have a decision to make. And I knew what my thought was going to be. I wanted to play to win. And I thought that part of that was so cool to me, because I haven't been in contention much. I've been playing really good golf, but I haven't been in contention. But I woke up with this weird, and this is the corniest thing ever, but I woke up with this weird, just like Kobe thought going through my head about just like the whole Mamba mentality, and I want the ball, give me the ball. I'm not scared of the moment. And even on the range this morning, I was pretty nervous. I haven't been in a position like this, especially at a tournament with this much buzz, like you were saying. And I wanted to promise myself that I was playing to win the golf tournament, and I wasn't just playing to have a good day and not screw up. So I was reminding myself that all morning. And while we're playing, all of a sudden you're sitting on 15. It's like, well, were you just saying that, or do you believe it? And I believe I'm a very good long iron player. And I had a moment where it was a tough shot, and it was a little in between clubs, and sure, 20-20 hindsight, we could have laid up and made birdie. But I think, fortunately, I made par and all is good. But I didn't. Through the, you know, kind of teachings of Kobe Bryant, I didn't play that golf tournament, get second today. I thought that was a cool moment for me. I was absolutely, I'm fine with sixth, because sixth versus second, I mean, it was the same thing. And that was kind of a cool thing to have in my head and stick to. And I made a good swing. It was not a tentative swing. It was not a guidey swing. It was just a full on rip. I flushed it and I pulled it, and the wing took it. And it's just like one of those things where I walked up to that drop zone, and I've been a lot more mad in my life, because I walked up thinking, okay, well, no big deal. Like, you just, it's not even going down in flames. You made a golf swing and you tried to win a golf tournament, and it felt good to do that. I think that at times, to win a golf tournament, you need to do something special. And I was going to need to catch Tony and Webb at that point. So looking back on it, a birdie didn't really do me a whole lot of good.
Is it weird for you? And I mean, listen, I know that, you know, you've kind of gone through every process of golf, and you've been good to great at it. I mean, you were great amateur player, great collegiate player. You know, you've won on the Korn Ferry, and now you've won on the PGA Tour. But like, this event is so different.
It's so different.
And it's so wild. and it's 4 days, but it feels, I mean, it felt like
it's
2 weeks
to
me.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, I was thinking in my head back to Friday.
Oh God, it feels like a different week. Thursday, especially because it's like a little bit more mellow.
Right.
Than Friday even.
But like, is it still wild sometimes personally to like finish today and you're kind of like driving back or you're like cleaning up or whatever, and you're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Is it still kind of weird to be like, I had a chance, you know, to win the Waste Management Phoenix Open that, again, is like, you know, last year you get into it and it's awesome. And now you're like comfortably competing.
Yeah, 100%. I think about that a lot. This tournament, for some reason, I think is plays such a big part in your year or in your career in an odd way. I thought about it after we were done. And I actually thought about it last year after we were done. It's so much pressure just because of how many people are there. I think that I've said this before. I think that there's a huge reason why Ricky has played so well here. I know he won for the first time last year, but he's had a lot of close calls. I think he full-blown embraces the noise, the people, and the atmosphere. And I do think that he's like probably the most flat-lying golfer, like upper echelon superstar golfer that there is. He doesn't fist pump a whole lot. He doesn't do all these things, but he seems to totally embrace this week. And I think a lot of people, most people, it does kind of make you shell up. Last year getting in, I had never played in anything close to this. Most of us, especially if you're coming off the Corn Ferry Tour, if you get 20 people watching your group at a time, it's kind of a lot.
Right.
I'm sure this is something that, you know, Tiger and Ricky, obviously, and JT and all these people go through all the time. But for us, it's like kind of exciting, but it's also intimidating might be the wrong word, but it's just different. So this tournament is different, you know, it's the craziest.
Yeah. And one of my friends that played mini tour golf with me when we kind of played back in the day, he was asking me, he was wondering, is it so crazy that it's almost peaceful? Like, is it so crazy that it's almost like you kind of know what to expect? You know what it's going to be like. You know the buzz is always going to be there. You said it like on 10 today, you were sitting over putting. There was,
The wheelbarrow.
There was like a wheelbarrow going. And I heard it too. I mean, it was like almost like a movie wheelbarrow creaking noise.
It was like a haunting noise.
And you still, I mean, you said you didn't back off because you're like, it's going to be something else.
Well, they're going to boo me if I back off. So you might as well just hit the thing, you know? Yeah. It's one of those things. I again, like I said, just a moment ago, like how kind of helps your career. It might've helped me play well at Wells Fargo last year or in bigger moments. You come out to the tournament and you know it's going to be loud. And you know there's going to be a lot of people saying a whole bunch of stuff while you're hitting, or maybe right before, maybe right after. And it almost puts you in. It's kind of like the whole fear the sick golfer, fear the sick athlete. When you're sick, you already know things are going to feel not good, and it's almost like you become ultra positive and ultra locked in everywhere else. This week, I feel like I put myself in a bubble for the most part. Like today was a perfect example. I'm walking off the first tee box and people are saying things here and there, and most of them are nice, but sometimes they're not very nice. And somebody's saying hi to me, and I keep hearing like go max, and I don't look up because I've kind of learned at this tournament, if you give somebody an inch, the rest of them take a mile. And then Joe tapped me on the shoulder, he goes, dude, that's your boy Steven, and it's Steven Tinoco. And I look over, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like so dumb. But you kind of get into that rhythm of like, I'm not going to look at anybody, I'm going to be in my own world. And it is kind of peaceful because like, again, for me, like, I don't get that a lot, to have it at in the tournament and actually be in some, you know, some sort of contention with the lead was cool too, because there's a lot more rooting interest for the people. It's not just like making fun of your last name, for instance.
My
arms get a lot.
They're getting grilled.
They're really not. It's not. It's the Golf Digest thing. They like blackened it or something.
Man.
But yeah, so it's a fun tournament, and I think it teaches you a lot. I really think that the people who don't play here don't love this atmosphere, and that's totally understandable. My caddy Joe said it perfect. He said one of the days somebody was talking while we're teeing off on 9, just talking while we're hitting, and we hit, and it wasn't super distracting at the time. But we're walking off the box. We were talking to the I can't remember who we were playing with, somebody else's caddy. It might have been Pete, Keith Mitchell's caddy. And he said, you know, any other tournament in the world, like if we're at Bay Hill, we're saying, dude, you got to stop talking.
Right.
Here, it's just like, keep going, man. It's fine. We're in, you know, it's like so tame. And it, but it's such a fun tournament. And it, I swear, you grow thicker skin, and we need thicker skin. We are babies on this tour for the most part.
Right. And you know, it's, I've never, I mean, I've thought about this a little bit, but you say we, you've been saying we a lot, and you say we don't get this. And I mean, you're talking about the not super duper stars, right?
Yeah.
You're talking
I would say like the general public of the tour. I really do think that there's probably only 10 guys a week or maybe 10 guys in total that get like a consistent mega following.
Right. And I've always thought, you know, if you have Tiger Woods, right, versus somebody that's been on tour for 3 years and they're vying for a major title, Tiger is so much more comfortable in every regard. And I'm talking about, he's not thinking about the money.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's not thinking about status or what comes with, I get 5 years. He's not thinking about that because obviously he doesn't have to worry about it. He's not thinking about, I might win my first major because obviously he's won majors. And the crowd
is kind of the biggest part.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the biggest part. So this is actually, in a way, the waste management helps, as you said, we out, because you do get it all week long, no matter 100%. If you're playing great or horrible.
The biggest thing for me at the Wells Fargo that was so difficult was, you know, I go out there Thursday, play okay, Friday played amazing. And all of a sudden, I'm in the second last group with Rory McIlroy. And of all the things you just said, Tiger doesn't care about them, not care, but he doesn't need the money. He doesn't, he's won a major. He's won a million golf tournaments, maybe literally. He's done all the things, and he plays in front of a packed house every day. So if I'm, so I get paired with Rory, and of all those things in my brain, if I can control it, I can not think about the money. I can not think about what winning a tournament does for me. I cannot think about all these things, the Masters, all that. I can't not think about how many more people are watching because I'm literally looking at them. And you get on a tee, and for me that day, it was like Rory McIlroy's birthday, and they're singing happy birthday to him on the tee. And I haven't had this many people watch me in my whole career combined. And all of a sudden I'm like immersed in this thing, and you make a putt and there's a huge cheer. But it's weird because it jacks you up. Like it makes you feel, I get why Tiger fist pumps when he makes putts because it's louder. I used to fist pump putts and no one's there. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, you look like a clown. So it's like this dumb, it's so much more fun. But yeah, if I was playing in the final group, or not even the final group, if I was playing in a meaningless Saturday round, or, you know, quote unquote meaningless, and I'm with Tiger, he's going to be like half asleep, I would imagine, as far as the week goes. And I'm going to be so jacked up and nervous that I don't know what I would do. And it's just like such a weird difference. Now, the biggest thing for me is I've gotten a lot more used to it. This term, I felt so much more comfortable with the crowds, not with anything else, but with the crowds than I have, because I've been fortunate. I played with Rory a couple times. I played with Ricky and Bryson at Colonial. Like, you start to get used to being like kind of the group, even, you know, Palm Springs, I got to play with Duff for 3 days, and, you know, he's won there. He's a super famous like player. So for 3 days for a tournament that doesn't get a ton of crowds, we had people following us. You even just getting used to just like the same 20 people watching you for a day that you don't know, like not my mom. That's like a weird, feel like you need to be giving everybody water and thanking them for like coming out. So it's just like a whole, you get used to it, and that's what's fun. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Tiger's 10 to 15 deep every single day of his entire life. So what is the difference for him playing in the final round of a major in the final group? I mean, it's a huge advantage.
So you've won the Wells Fargo. You have contended in events, but you said something pretty interesting to me before we started. You said this was like one of the most fun days you've had as a golfer, like this Sunday.
It was the most fun. Yeah.
The most fun you've had.
Yeah. I mean, obviously like winning is more fun, but I felt the energy coming off like the first tee box was, I felt really nervous this morning for a weird way, but not nervous. Like I've always said this, but like there is negative nervous and there's positive nervous. I felt nervous in a good way. Like, dude, you could do something special here. And also like, this is a fun one to do that, 'cause you get roars. Like I made a putt on 5 for birdie, and it's a harder hole. And I mean, it was loud, and it was, the front nine is not usually very loud. We talked about this, like this was the first, or besides, you know, obviously last year was the only other time I played it, but like usually the front nine here is not very crowded. I feel like it was a little more spread out this year, and it got loud and made a par putt on six, and it was freaking loud. And you really, it was a fun day because I played well from start to finish. And, you know, you're always anticipating 15 through 18. I mean, it's a whole, you know, kind of different world for golf. I just enjoyed it. Again, it was probably a typical day in a superstars world as far as the people go. And the things that I loved about it was just, you know, like I said, the people, the fans, the roars, this and that. That's probably a typical day for them, but it's not one for me. And to play well and get to hear the roars and feel like you handle yourself, it was really fun. It's fun to come to 16. I tell you this, that 16th hole is something else. It's demanding mentally. It's not the hardest hole in the world, but it's demanding mentally, and you better really own what you're doing. And it was cool to come to that hole this year with like a chance, like a outside chance, but with a chance, and to hit a golf shot. Cause it's like, I'm nervous there on Thursday when it means nothing in the grand scheme of things. And all of a sudden I'm on there where it means a whole lot. You know, you're a pull away from losing, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, or maybe making thousands of dollars. And you get up there and you hit a golf shot, and I hit a really good one today. And you learn a lot about yourself at this tournament. I really will say that. I think it helps a lot of the people, the rookies and the second year guys quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, you are doing stuff at a tournament that you will do if you're in contention. I mean, that's the only problem, because this golf tournament, I mean, it's going to have, in 10 years, there's going to be 2 million people that come to this.
For
thing.
Sure.
Like, you talk about the front nine, and we were joking about it, but I first came to the Waste Management maybe in, I think it was probably 2005. I was in college and came up with a buddy. And, you know, 16 wasn't totally enclosed at the time. Obviously, there was none of those grandstands on 17.
You really are old.
I know. Older.
Older.
I'm definitely older now. I think post 35, you're older.
Okay.
I think that's the mark, because 30 is 30. And then you're kind of, all the early 30s are the same. Like 31 is the same as 33 is the same as 34. 35
hits. How exciting.
Well, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's, you forget how old you are. That's the age. Like, that's the gap when you forget your age.
Yeah.
That's when I started to not know. Because you never forget if you're 28 or 29 or 27. Like, I feel like you always know. You're 28, right?
29.
You're 29.
But I don't forget it.
You're not going to forget it. And you're especially not going to forget it now, because it's your last year in your 20s.
Until I'm 30 and when it means nothing anymore.
Well, no, 30's great.
30's good.
30's great.
Why?
Because you're 30 and you feel kind of mature and you have a job that's okay. And you're going to feel like, you know, hey, I'm 30. Great.
I don't know if I'm mature.
And then I think you're mature. And then you were like locked in this week, mature. Your face was like,
I mean, yeah, like work.
You were like zone.
Everyone's mature at work.
You broke your zone on 17 today.
Yeah, because I was really happy I made
No. But you were like super locked in. You talked to me on 6 on Friday.
Yep.
You hit a great shot there out of the bunker. Impossible.
It's, yeah.
You
know, five.
Yeah, you hit it out of the bunker. You had like 6 iron, and I'm, again, this goes back to my nervous stuff, but I was like, man, I mean, this is brutal. And there's like a wash in front of the green,
like,
for people
terrible,
that aren't there. It's, you could get yourself
all
in
kinds
trouble.
Of things.
And you hit it on the front of the green. It was great. And you came over and you're like, I was like, pretty good there. Just like on 18, I was trying to get your attention on 18, because I looked
for you after 18.
I thought you hit a 380.
All of the yards. It was actually funny. The guy walking with us who works with the production, I hit it, and I've never hit a driver that hard in my life. And I heard him say, I thought it was Joe, but I heard him say, wow, like, great shot, Max. Great shot. And I was like, yeah, thanks, Joe. You know, like, I mean, I agree,
but
he was like amped, but I was amped for me too. And I was looking for you guys, because I was wanting to be just like mouth like, wow. And
yeah,
you, like,
I was hoping you'd flex.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with doing silly stuff like that.
Oh, then you get clowned by the rest of the 100,000 people.
No. It's not even that. It's like, you were actually on TV.
Oh, well, so yeah.
Today.
I definitely wasn't. I'm not even sure that I was. You know,
I'm just saying, you were on TV, like, because you were, you know, you were late in your round, and you were right there. You were in the top five. And I mean, you were like 60 yards past both the guys you were playing with.
Yeah, it was fun. But then somebody outdrove me after. But so okay, I'm going to put my, I've never been on this. Well, I've been on this side of the mic, but I've never been a co-host.
Yeah.
So now I get to ask.
Yeah, of course.
All right, cool. The whole week for me is fun, and I'm sure other people would like to trade what they're doing for what I'm doing. But this is one of the random weeks where I would trade anything to do what you did, like just get to walk and watch. You didn't drink very much or anything at all, but I would have been. I want to know what it's like to watch and walk and the chaos. Because like I said, I go bubble. I'm not seeing anything. I have a couple things that I saw that like I kind of remembered, but you get to like kind of soak it all in. And I really actually want to know what it's like. Because at times I would walk over to you just so I could like feel like I was part of the crew walking, because right. It seems so fun.
Yeah, I mean, your wife walks every round, every tournament, every time.
Tournament, yeah,
and then you had your best buddy in town, and he was walking. Yep. So I'm kind of like in the ropes, out of the ropes, in the ropes, out of the ropes, talking to all these
people.
You
were showing off.
No, I'm the only reason I go in the ropes is because you can get around people, and then I got yelled at by a cop today. But then your buddy, who is unbelievable,
yeah, Petey.
Oh, shout out, that guy's great. And so much fun to be excited with.
Oh, he is an excitable man.
One of the best traits in life is if you can meet somebody that gets excited about the stuff you get excited about. Sure. You know, like if you're a basketball fan, I mean, you and I both love the NBA. It could be anybody that does anything on any team, and you or I texted to each other, and like we're both excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Dame scored 51 on Saturday, fired up. Don't care about the Trailblazers.
Nope.
Not a Trailblazer fan at all, but that's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's one
of those
guys.
Like, in a nutshell.
He is unbelievably excited. Unbelievable hang. Totally the kind of guy you'd want to be at a four top. You know?
Especially one who's like saying he's going to drink or have a drink for every birdie.
Yeah, he did that on Friday.
He did. And he had every kind of drink.
So I will say this about the event, and this goes back to a few moments ago where we were talking about age. Now it's a lot at 36 because I'm not drinking while I'm there because I'm working. You know?
These darn kids.
And it's just like when they yell stuff at you, I get annoyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they yell stuff at like Nate Lashley, I'm like annoyed at the stuff. Somebody said, I think it was Friday I was watching, and somebody yelled out, you know, like a 40 footer Hideki has. You know what hole it was? It was three when you made that eagle forever. And Hideki has like 40, 50, 60 feet for eagle. Impossible putt. Leaves it like 5 feet short, which is, what would you grade that?
B plus, A minus? 8 out of 10, yeah.
And somebody's like, screams out, you should have hit that with your driver.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just like I just want to turn around and just look at the person and say like, I forever hate you. Like you, I forever
you're
hate
on my list.
Like forever.
I forever
hate you, and I will never not, because you're the person that yells that kind of stuff.
For sure.
And I'm sure you hear it all. I know you hear it all because I ask you after, which is funny. And that's some of this is a part of our segment, so I don't want to get it all out here right now. But so every week we're going to do some stuff that we're trying to do consistently, and we're going to ask for you people to send in ideas as well. So if you have any, send them in at MaxHoma23 on Twitter, at Shane Bacon on Twitter, and Max joined Instagram as well recently.
I'm not happy about it.
At Max.Homa, if you follow him on Instagram. Actually, you know what? We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right, we are back. You are listening to Get a Grip Podcast with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, I want to touch a couple things on waste management before we move on, because I want to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl as well, because we just watched it at my house. And it was kind of really didn't seem like anything was going on. And then the last 7 minutes were a lot of fun. So we'll get to that in a second. One thing is, on Friday, I was following you and you make bogey on 11 to go to plus one for the week.
Yeah.
And you know, over par is not normally going to make the cut at this event. I mean, you normally it's 1, 2, 3 under par is going to be somewhere around the cut. And you kind of, I called it a Shane Bacon par to my friends, because you were in the desert twice on the hole.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I like that.
I was like, that's like a me par.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
hit it left on 13 to par 5. And then you,
oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
were by the Tiger Rock, by the way.
I was.
Yeah, you were right by Tiger Rock.
I wish you could move a bush. Like you could move the
you
boulder,
can't get 40
but you're
fans
not
over to,
no,
to rip the bush out.
I don't
out.
Have 40
no,
fans.
No. So you hit an iron, kept it in the desert, hit it in the greenside bunker, make five, you make five.
It was a miracle five. It was the, yeah, the super mega five.
But you're one over at the time, and you just went through what, and I know
13 is the easiest hole on the course.
It's a birdie hole.
Yeah.
And I hate
and you told
things.
Me that 14 is the hardest hole on the course.
Yeah,
even though I disagreed, but then every day I got on the tee, I was debating whether it was or wasn't.
Well, I mean, it's just it's 490 uphill.
Yeah, it's a hard
so hole. You hit on the green, you have like 35 feet, and at this exact time, my buddy Nick and my wife had walked up and asking, how you doing? How's he doing? How's he doing? I said, you know, he's doing okay. I was like, he's got birdie holes upcoming.
Yeah, sure.
And you make it.
Sure.
Yeah. Cash it. Hoop birdie it. 14. Hit it on a 15 and two putt birdie. Hit a great shot on 16, and you lip that out, right? It
rolled over the lip.
Yep. And then birdie 17, birdie 18.
Yeah.
So you're, I mean, comfortably in. And that really, I mean, you shoot one over in the opening round, 67. You shoot that great 64 on Saturday and 68 in the final round. But when you get through, take me back to Friday, and you get through 13, and you said it's kind of a slap around par.
Yeah.
You know, nothing pretty about it. You just kind of got up and down and made par. Are you thinking about, I've got to make some birdies?
Oh, yeah.
Are you like pissed at yourself because of third? Like, how do you turn that in? My question is, how do you turn the frustration with whatever's going on or the way you're playing into something positive that quick?
The 13, I was pissed off at myself, but not because of par. I thought I did a great job to make par. So I looked at it positively in that sense. I did a great job to make par. I made a terrible swing off the tee, probably a poor decision on the second shot, but I, even looking back on it, I'm not 100% sure where else I could have played it. I did kind of play for something to get lucky, and I did get lucky, and then, you know, had a good up and down for par. I was mad at myself for hitting a tee shot. That tee shot was a pure, straight up reaction from the bad tee shot I hit right in the water the day before. It was not a flinch, but it was a shut the face, don't go right, don't go in the water, drive. And it's just like, I'd been hitting the ball well. Most of my mistakes for the first 27 holes were just based off of a previous shot. It was not me. I knew that I was swinging the club really well. I'd played well the week before, and I've been, you know, really playing well for the past 3 months or so. So that's where I was pissed off. So I turned 13 to a positive in the sense that, man, I really made a great par. And I go to 14, still feeling confident and comfortable with my golf swing and everything I'm doing. So it just was a matter of, all right, let's stop wondering or thinking about what just happened and the shot I've hit, you know, the day prior and what I did on a similar tee shot. It's like, how about we just go swing the freaking golf club? Because every time I've been doing that, I'm hitting it about where I'm looking. I do that. I hit a kind of a mediocre 9-iron and finally make a putt. I hadn't been putting well. And it's one of those things where you keep hitting good shots, you're going to be rewarded. It might not be Friday of the waste management, but it'll be the next week. And, you know, then I know, you know, it's not even planned, but I 15 through 18 are your scoring holes. And golf is one of those weird games where, let's just say the golf course had 14 impossible holes and 4 easy ones. Well, if the 4 easy ones are at the end of the day and you're 3 over through 14, are you going to be mad? Or it's like, oh, no, like 1 under is pretty good because 14 is really hard. 14 of them are really hard. It's just you happen to only play the 4 easy at the end. So it's one of those courses and tournaments where Joe said it best this morning. He said, we're going to play before we even teed off, he said, play the front 9 patient. You can always get hot in the back 9. And we didn't, but that's the idea of this golf course. So it was one of those things where, like, you could look at it as, oh my gosh, you finally found it. Or it was like, well, you've been playing pretty good and we finally got some holes that are a little bit more scoreable. And I felt like that's what I did really well. Also started to trust myself a little bit more. But I told Joe, Palm Springs, final round, number 12, we were 1 or 2 over and had played well the first 3 days and we're kind of out of the golf tournament all of a sudden. And I told him walking off the green, I said, we're going to play some good golf for a long time because this game is good. And I thought about that last week and I thought about it again this week. It's like, I finally feel comfortable in the game. So even if I would have missed a cut Friday, it would have been a bummer more so because I live here. Because we're doing this pod and I wanted more stuff.
Well, that's
to talk
what I was
about.
Saying. I was
wanted to just keep playing. Yeah.
I was sweating it. I was thinking, because I mean, you've agreed to this and you've agreed to talk about the good and the bad, and that's the best part about it.
And
with
the
yourself.
Bad's going
to
be better, but
for sure. But you know, like, I'm like, shit, like this, he's gonna
miss. I thought it was gonna be like the reverse good luck podcast, like right. You come on this podcast and like you get sick, you know, you miss the cut instead of like everyone gets the bump podcast.
Right.
This, I was thinking about that on Friday. I was like, guys, this podcast is gonna be like bad luck.
Yeah, like they come on the podcast and then they have a 6 month injury.
Yeah, exactly. So, so I wanted to like just have, and I also like, you know, now I'm a content guy, so like I needed more content. And Saturday's the content like episode of the year at this golf tournament.
Yeah, are you an influencer now? Is that what you? Is
no,
that,
no.
Okay,
God, if anybody's influenced by what I do, they have real big issues.
I had somebody send me a swing for your roast today.
No, like, I get a lot of those.
A couple, two or three. Maybe I've decided this. In 3 years, we're going to ask you if you love that idea or hated the idea. We'll see where you go.
Yeah, I think it's getting borderline. I do love it. I have it in my, again, since I'm a big important co-host now, I have it in my notes. To talk about, but I did have one guy ask me to roast his beer chug yesterday on one, and I stopped and waited for him to chug it, and he took about two sips and then put it down, and I said, that wasn't very good, and he goes, I thought you were walking away, so I stopped, and I was like, well, I mean, I get it, but I didn't, and he had his moment in the sun, and then kind of didn't really do much with it, but that was a breath of fresh air, because people yelling at me to roast their golf swing while they're not only not playing golf, but nowhere near holding a golf club is just an awkward situation for me as a person.
You know what you're going to start getting? This is going to be the terrible stuff. You're going to be like in an airport.
Oh God. Yeah.
And somebody's going to
bring a phone over.
No, they're going to do the swing themselves, without the club. God.
That's my personal nightmare.
This is going to be terrible. You have to come up with
that's pretty good. Bob.
Back to accounting.
Yeah, oh, that would be funny. Oh, you're in Terminal B, and that drive was probably in Terminal C. Have a great flight.
Wait, what other notes do you have about the tournament? I didn't even know you had a notes thing.
Oh, dude, I do notes.
I want to hear what else you heard.
I want this to come up organically, but I have my friend Steven and his story with Rory McIlroy. I'd like to get that out of the way at some point. I have one labeled Two Girls, One Cart. I haven't told you that story yet. I saw a lot.
These aren't just waste management stories. These are life stories.
Life. The Two Girls, One Cart was from Waste Management yesterday. Okay. Mighty Ducks. That's labeled. That's the header. That's from yesterday. Crying by front. I know exactly what it is.
When are you writing these down? I mean, you're not.
I wrote some during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I do have this. A lot of swing roast requests, one chug requests.
I can't believe the guy didn't do it.
He seemed really bummed out that he didn't know that I was watching.
I got a buddy of mine that he texts you all the time now, and you don't even know him. Unfortunately, Max is too nice to like tell people to leave him alone. So my buddy texts Max massive amounts of nonsense all the time, and we're in this group chat. And I laugh at it because I like the guy's sense of humor. I think you like his sense of humor too. But anyway, he can chug Guinness in like 2 seconds. Guinness.
That's disgusting.
And he says it's easier to chug Guinness than it is any other beer because there's less gas. So there used to be a bar in Vegas, and I think it was an Aria, and it was like one of those bars in the hotels that like are something. And I think this one was like an Irish pub. And if you can chug a beer in under like 5 seconds, you get it for free. And every time we went to Vegas, we go there and you chug like three Guinness.
Three free beers.
Three free beers. Then we go. Last trip, they said you can't do Guinness anymore. They added a rule.
Can't chug anything else?
He said, no, it's all too gassy.
Oh my God.
But Guinness.
This guy's a one trick pony.
Yeah, but hey, it's a good skill. You always could probably beat everybody. Everybody has your reaction you just had. You went, oh, Guinness.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's I would just say finishing a Guinness. I hear that the ones over in Europe are a lot better, but the Guinness I've drank here, and I'm not a manly man, so I'm okay. I drink Carnegie and Bud Light.
But I
don't know how somebody just finishes a dark beer, let alone chugs it. So I guess that would give them it for free.
Yeah,
for
I mean, three seconds easily. We watched the Super Bowl together.
What a game.
You had a good point about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's just not. This is like a blah fan base. I'm happy. Paul Rudd is what I think of when I think of the Chiefs and the guy from Modern Family. I'm blanking on his name. And the Niners, I still think of like Jerry Rice, Steve Young,
right.
Joe Montana, and then my friend Peter, who is a Bay Area fan. So like I don't think that they, and maybe it's because we've been not spoiled because I can't stand how much they've won, but like the Patriots have owned the Super Bowl. Like your focus has been, is Tom Brady going to win another Super Bowl or is it going to be some cool upset by any other team in the league?
So I'm interested in this take for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, it's more the people like you and I who don't have a rooting interest with the Patriots or the Eagles or the 49ers or the Chiefs, right? Like we are just sports fans that are going to watch Super Bowl because it's a Super Bowl.
Right.
And we're going to watch a big football game because it's a big football game. And maybe we don't attach ourselves to either of those teams because, you know, the 49ers used to be in the Super Bowl all the time. And it's, you know, they've kind of like
they've been blocked
intermittently
for a while,
been in. Yeah. I mean, the Kaepernick team made the Super Bowl and this team obviously made the Super Bowl. And we
I didn't even remember that. Yeah. That's crazy.
And we thought they were going to win. I mean, I thought they were going to win. I thought San Fran would go ahead and win that game.
I thought the Chiefs were going to win.
But it was an unbelievable
neither
comeback.
Here nor there.
But, you know,
but
like,
I was right.
The KC thing, it's been 50 years since they were in the Super Bowl. So I just think like casually,
do you
it's
remember
nice.
Watching the?
I mean, that's. I mean, you can't. You can't make old jokes until I'm at least 40.
Okay, I thought you said 35 was older.
No, I said 35 is when you feel like you're old.
Okay. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Use your typewriter and then send me a note and let me know what are old and what are older jokes.
So, Andy Reid was that. Is like the happy the world needs. That like
he was so happy.
That 5 minutes of him on cam, like Fox did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, yeah.
Never cut away from him. Like that is.
It looked like he was trying to cry, but he doesn't cry. So it didn't happen, but he really wanted to cry.
Right.
Like he knew he was supposed to cry.
And then my wife has an unbelievable point, I thought. She said the Gatorade bath's got to be brutal.
Yeah, big disagree on this.
Okay, you're sticky for hours.
Sure.
Hours.
You're also happy forever.
Happy forever, but you're not sticky forever.
He can go you shower. Know what? There's a shower in the
If you got it. Gatorade dumped on you after you won the Masters.
You better believe, I might not ever shower.
you would just have Gatorade on for the whole, if you win the Masters this year, after all your stuff you got to do, back at your house, yeah. I'm dumping Gatorade on
you. You can kick me straight in the
and
nuts.
And you have to have Gatorade on you the next day when you're flying to New York when you have to do all the media.
On my private jet?
They
because
fly
I'm the
you
richest
there.
Person ever
I
now?
I think they fly you because
sure.
you go do all the stuff.
Sure.
All right. This is a deal.
Yeah. If I win the Masters.
Green Gatorade.
You can pour green Gatorade on me, kick me in the nuts. You can... pepper spray me and I'm gonna have a smile on my face for about ever. There ain't no argument against
that. I will not pour Gatorade on you with the jacket on. That's our rule.
Oh, well, yeah,
jacket
that,
off.
That seems pretty fair.
We're gonna take a quick break and be right back. So I want to get to some segments because a lot of them kind of apply to our week in terms of the Wells Fargo. See, I'm thinking about you winning again of the waste management. Yeah, no. And my first one is we're going to have a not great idea, great idea every week. I'm taking this.
I'll
waste.
Do the not great idea.
Well, yeah. You're going to have it.
No,
some
like
waste.
Every week you could do the good of one.
Well, this one I think is a good idea.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't have good ideas.
Okay, so...
you're the idea man.
I've thrown this idea at you. So this isn't news to you, but I want it to go into action. So my hope is that people listening will push you on this. I saw it today, Max. 18th hole. Nate Lashley, buddy of ours, hits it right. Hits a fan.
Did it hit somebody?
Yeah, they were like they said it hit him.
Because it was coming for a guy's head.
Yes, so it was one of those like did I hit you? And
okay.
they were like, yeah. You had that happen, right?
Yeah,
where they don't really agree.
Yeah,
with
they
it,
like they want to be nice about it. You just want to know so you can sign your tacky glove and move on.
So what happens?
Which
you sign a glove.
Point, yeah,
you sign a glove. And Nate, as golfers do, took a glove, signed it, gave it to the guy. Crowd clapped. Go on with your business. I don't want a glove signed.
No one does.
I don't want a glove.
Unless you're a kid, I think.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. But if you had a kid, you're
so here's my idea. Here's my good idea. My good golfing idea.
This is a great golfing idea.
So I want you to start carrying, and we've already got caddy approval on
this. Yeah, we did ask Joe.
I want you to start carrying a gift card grab bag.
Love it.
In the bag, we're going to have $25 gift cards to your chain restaurants, your Applebee's, your Chili's.
Sizzler.
Your Sizzler.
That's my pick.
Are they still around?
We'll find out.
Okay. We'll look online after this. Yeah. So $25 Sizzler. We'll go with Sizzler gift cards. I hope they're not sponsoring the podcast. Well, we have $50 gift cards. We're going to have...
I like a random $100 Visa gift card. Like, you can buy whatever you want.
I think you have to have in there one $500 Visa or American Express gift card. $500.
Whoa.
I think you got to have some $100, like, you know, Travis Matthews sponsor yours. Maybe Titleist throws something in there, something they can use on the site. That's nice of them to do, be a part of it. But you hit somebody, go over there, apologize. Frank, I'm sorry, man. That's a brutal thing. Take the bag out, shake it a little bit, blind, hand in, pull it out. Let's go.
I'm all in on this.
We got to start it.
I can't. I'm a little nervous for the day where I hit a guy in the head and he's concussed and bleeding. He looks like he might be dying, and he plucks like the $12 Sizzler gift card, and like it goes from funny to like, all right, man, but like, what are you really gonna give me?
Listen, we'll have a deal. If the dude's in a stretcher,
he gets a $500 card.
Just give him $100. Don't give him free parking.
Yeah, yeah.
But give him the $100 card. Okay. Deal.
Yeah, deal.
Or if he's bleeding, maybe just go, hey man, I'm really sorry.
You're gonna
maybe
be okay.
We bypass the grab bag for that time.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's not as hey, come on down. Yeah, that might be a bit awkward.
Maybe we'll pass that by. If they're injured, seriously injured, or going into the hospital. You just can go over and say, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And you know what? You can sign a glove.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
if he's concussed, he won't even realize how stupid it is. So.
Yeah. You sign something he has. And you don't lose a glove. Yeah, yeah. How many gloves
do you have? I'll sign his waiver.
How many gloves do you have in your bag?
Three or four.
That's it?
Yeah.
Do you use a new glove every round?
No.
Do like the really famous golfers do that?
I heard Tiger has a new lob wedge every week, so I imagine he uses a glove every shot. I mean, that's my how my math breaks down.
I heard that Ernie uses a new ball out. He changes balls out after birdies.
Yeah, and I heard Phil does it too, but that seems unbelievable because you would think that at some, like, they have to pack 18 just in case they get like a mega heater.
Yeah.
And there's no way their caddy wants to carry 18 golf
18's balls. A lot of golf
balls. I don't care who you are, you ain't carrying 18.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, I'm having a great day.
I got two sleeves like everybody
does.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's your process on the golf ball? Do you change it after?
I'm a scuff. If I could somehow, the ball would look, there's no superstition. If the ball could like cosmetically look good all day, I'd use it all day. But yeah, I mean, I hit it in the rocks enough to know, like, maybe try a new ball here and there.
All right. So segments, that was the first one, my good golf idea of the week. And I think it's going to happen. The gift card grab bag. I will buy to start the bag. I'll buy a $100 Visa gift card for it.
Okay.
I will donate that. You've got 2 weeks on the road.
Okay.
And then you're back here?
Yeah.
I will have it ready. So let's go. Glove signing at Pebble. Sorry, everybody out there, if you get smoked. Glove signing at Riv.
Yeah.
You're not going to miss a fairway there.
Obviously not.
But we're starting the grab bag following that. What's your event after that?
Bay Hill, I think.
Bay Hill.
Yeah.
People in Florida, be prepared.
The Big Sister grouping, I think, in Florida.
The good news there is if you miss a fairway, it just goes in the water.
Yeah, even better. I don't know what alligator's like, but...
All right, segment. First thing first. We'll do this every week. Best thing you heard this week from the gallery. Best thing. Not sarcastic.
The guy today. Although this is kind of lowbrow humor. I've heard it before. But it was good timing. He said that if I shaved my arms, I could pick up like 5 miles an hour clubhead speed, which I thought was pretty funny. But I, to be fair, had already said that to Nate on the 7th hole. So,
wait, you said it?
Oh yeah, we talked about it. I hit a 6 iron over the green, and it was a shot that should never go over the green with that club. And he told me that it's, if I shave my arms, and we like kind of go on this whole thing about like how hairy I am. It's just like common talk, I guess. It's not that bad.
It's really not. So, little girl, you were walking off six, and there was a little like 3, 4, 5 year old girl, and as y'all were walking off, she yells, "Good job, golfer!
Yeah,
really great."
But she was right.
It was awesome.
I just realized what my favorite thing I heard on the golf course was. 16, the infamous 16, Saturday. So yesterday, the craziest day, of the week,
of the year.
Yeah, good point. Somebody was yelling, or their whole crowd on the right was chanting, "Flower dress, flower dress, flower dress," and I didn't really get it. And then it stopped, and then they go back to "flower dress, flower dress." And I finally look left, and straight across from them, on like the third level of the stadium, there's this attractive woman in a flower dress, and they were all just chanting for her. And I thought, I was like,
does she have any idea?
I don't know. I mean,
she's just hanging out.
I thought that, it was both like, communal, like everyone seemed to be really into this. And also like, if I was her, I'd be pretty flattered.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire right, loge section was chanting for her.
Nice. Nice job.
That was good.
Way to know the area. I'm very impressed.
I've been to Dodger Stadium once. We call it loge.
That's what it is there.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Cool. Yeah.
What's the dumbest thing you heard this week from a gallery member? And remember, we're doing this every week. So
the dumbest thing I heard,
if it's cliche,
this is a tough one. This week has all of the dumb things.
Well, you can avoid the really horrible stuff.
I'll say, somebody telling us all to hit pitching wedge on one hole that every single person was hitting considerably different club than pitching wedge. But the dumbest thing I heard was we get up on six. I want to say it was on Friday. Yeah, on Friday, and it's myself, Keith Mitchell, Bryce Garnett, and Keith and myself are pretty close to each other in the right rough. Bryce is behind us a little bit, and also in the right rough. And these guys, we get up, they're a little bit older, they're your age or something, and they're hammered, and they keep talking, and the guy keeps talking to me, saying I'm Bryce Garnett, basically saying Bryce, and obviously I'm just like doing my thing where I just don't look up, but we're gonna be there a while. And he says, "Bryce, I got a dollar says you hit it closer than Keith." And I said something to the effect of like, "Well, I have $5 that I'm not Bryce." And then we go on this whole long thing where all his friends are making fun of him. And he's like, "Well, what's your name?" And I'm seriously like, dude, it's on my back.
Right.
Like, it's pointed at you.
And your head cover.
And my head cover. Like, it's everywhere. I'm so famous. Like, figure this out. So like, that was the dumbest thing. Just because also like, just his whole friend, like group or whatever, they were all like making fun of him too. But that was dumb. I mean, I'm all for the heckling. What I actually really love about this term is like some of the heckling is smart. Like it's witty. It's well thought out. They plan it. This is just like, come on, dude. If you're gonna heckle me, like let's get the name right first, and then let's have it be funny. Hopefully after that. But so that
when you hear stuff from the fans. The people that yell. So this is a small percentage of fans. Very, very small percentage of fans. For the most part, it's pretty much the same. It might be clever. It might be the same getting the whole thing or whatever. But, if it's good, you guys respect it.
100%.
As long as it's not in your swing or something like that. But, like, if you're going to say something, you especially, your sense of humor.
I think so. It's really funny.
Yeah. It's just the problem is that that's... It's few and far between on like,
it's very rare,
like the slam dunks. Listen, we're not all comedians, for goodness sake.
For sure.
It's like, it's hard to come up with stuff and actually execute that stuff to perfection.
Yeah. It's difficult. And also, given there's lack of context for things, I understand why it's difficult. That's why I do commend people who have the bravery to say anything, because it is kind of a leap. But at the same time, you could also just like not say anything. I've heard that that's a way to go about
it. Just never tweet.
Just like, yeah, maybe never tweet. Maybe never just like yell at a random person you don't know enough about. But like, yeah, some of it's funny. Like today on, or not even today on Friday, I heard somebody yell. I think Webb was leading, and he said something like, "Come on, Max. Webb's gonna choke. The gold jacket's yours." Like stuff like that cracks me up. But like, that's clever. Like he thought it out. He got the name right.
Nailed the movie quote.
I mean, it was great. I mean, he might have been yelling it at Bryce, but he said Max, but it doesn't matter. So like stuff like that, I think, you know, that's well done. But yeah, I mean, commend people for yelling. I am a big fan of being a little bit more boisterous at golf tournaments when it's appropriate. I understand that this tournament is so much more common to yell while we're hitting that I don't really find it a problem. And again, I don't really think I'd find it a problem. But if it's super quiet and you're just going to yell at me to be obnoxious, I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch. But I think it should be louder. I think we should be less stringent on all these rules and stuff like that.
All right. Before we finish segments, we're going to take one last break.
Yeah. If I win the Masters,
green Gatorade,
you could pour green Gatorade on me, kick me in the nuts. You can pepper spray me, and I'm going to have a smile on my face for about ever.
All right, we're back and we're finishing up. I want to ask you, this is a serious question. Serious question every week. What's the proudest moment of your week, personally? The proudest moment you had of yourself?
Wow.
The idea of this, I want you to drum up the positivity.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I didn't get hammered drunk after playing a good event because I'm like trying to do this more consistently. Yeah. I think that was a big moment for me. I thought Friday, make the turn, felt, it was, I guess it's not like a specific moment, but I felt very comfortable in who I was and what I was doing. I felt like it didn't matter if I shot whatever I shot 4 under on the back nine or I shot even and missed the cut. Didn't feel like it was going to affect my year, how I felt about myself. So I thought that was like a grand scheme, big thing. And I was really proud of myself today on 15 hitting 3 iron and swinging for it. Cause like I said before, I think trying to win is hard and you got to take it at times. And I was in a position where I couldn't just limp in and, you know, not luck into it, but I couldn't just hold on. I had to make something happen and I tried to make it and it didn't work and it'll work a different time.
You had 3 wood out. I was standing right by you.
Yeah.
You have 3 wood out in your hand. I mean, this was actually one of my favorite moments. And I can hear you. I mean, I'm close enough to where I can kind of hear you guys talking. You know? And I'm hearing, and I hear Joe say, I just think it's too much club, you know, with the 3 wood. And so you guys put it back in the bag and you grab what I'm assuming is like a 3 iron,
yep.
Whatever your long iron is, 3 iron, 2 iron, whatever. And this guy goes, come on, Max. Never lay up.
Yeah.
And I internally was just laughing because obviously it's a shout out to our boys in No Laying Up.
Our ex-boys.
Our rivals. And it was just one of those things where like, you just want to be like, give it a second.
Yeah, give it a second. Like, watch this thing. Like, I might have been too much club. It's just like, that's the stuff that's so, but it's I guess funny is the wrong word. It's not funny. It's amusing.
It's amusing.
Because I did grab that 3 iron out thinking, like, this guy's going to be blown. Like, he's going to be so shocked at, like, how far this next shot's going to go compared to, like, where he sees it landing. Right. He's like, whoa, that's, like, 100 more yards than I thought he was going to hit it. But, like, see, people have so little clue what's going on. That's why I wanted to do this podcast because, you know, obviously in that moment, that guy probably was like 17 drinks deep. So I'll give him a pass. But like on TV, you'll see people do things and be like, why did he hit that club? Or why? It's like, because like I do not hit a 3 iron 275 yards. But in that moment, I was jacked up. It goes farther in Arizona than it does pretty much anywhere else that we play, minus like, you know, the mega elevation places like Colorado or something. And it was only 240 to the front. So I only have to hit this 3 iron 240, which is already playing less than 240. And it's just like no longer like this really long golf shot that
right.
You think when you just hear a stock number, you know, somebody on the broadcast goes, he has 275 yards and oh my gosh, he's hitting a 3 iron. These young guys and this technology, the ball goes so far. I'm not saying it doesn't go farther or further, but what I am saying is I'm hitting that shot 30 yards shorter than you think I'm hitting it in the air. And it's firm as hell. it's going to bounce up there. Like, that's the shot. So you're telling, like, when I get up there and you said, oh, you have 275, what would you hit? I'd say 3-wood.
Right.
But in that situation, it's like, not even, 3-wood is way too much club. Right. Because if it, even if it lands 255, it goes over the back of the green. So when I hear these people like that, I'm just like, all right, dude, just like give it like 20 seconds. And
well, you know, you said something to me this week. I try not to do that when I'm broadcasting, is to get so up and get so down on like numbers and clubs and, right. and that.
Because it is a bit irrelevant at
times. But it's situational.
For sure.
More than anything else in golf is your situation. It's you're jacked up. It's the weather. It's the wind. It's the firmness. It's all of these things are playing into how far you want the ball to end.
Right.
It's not how far you want the ball to go. Right.
Yeah.
And but you said something to me this week, and I thought it was so cool because I'd never thought about this. And I've played a lot of golf in my life. You don't like the tee shot at 11 here.
11, yeah.
11's a hole. It just kind of gives you the willies. It's just not. It's a hard tee shot for everybody. For
yeah. Sakes.
But it's if people don't know, there's water all the way down the left side. There's desert down the right. It just sets you up to kind of not really hit it in the fairway, and you've got to step up there and hit a tee shot. It's right. What makes you
and
do.
And you're like, the other thing for this term is, you're next to the line of people getting into 16.
Right.
You're timing off of when somebody hit a shot on 16, and everyone is, no one could care any less about what you're doing, and you have to hit what I think is the toughest tee shot on the golf course. So maybe all those things play a part in that tee shot.
So I asked you after, I said, why don't you hit 3-wood? And you said, well, I hit it on Thursday, but you said the pin on Friday was back, and you go, I didn't want to have to hit 5-iron in.
Right.
I didn't tell you this, but I was thinking to myself, I was like, that's a mass. I mean, that is professional planning.
For sure.
And to me, I would, if you were going to use a pool analogy, I would never be thinking about, in that instance, with a tough tee shot, water left, desert right. It's like the hole is the hole. It's all the shots
oh, yeah.
to get the ball in the hole. And I'm sure there's been plenty of times competitively for me where I hit iron there on Friday, if I'm in your shoes, and have 225
right.
in.
But you're
safe. In the fairway off the tee.
You still might make a five.
You still might make a five or a six.
You're trying to make it easiest to make the lowest score you can. I think that hole, depending where the pin is, there are times when it could be a more of a birdie hole at times if you hit a great tee shot. But that's where Joe comes into play more so, and all the caddies come into play more so, is that they chart the pins the day before. They know where we can attack. Today was a perfect example. We were never getting that pin. I would assume that there were probably less than 10 birdies on 11. And we were trying to just hit the fairway and find a way to get around the green right side of it into. And it's like, so you could play it way different. We hit iron off the tee. Whereas some of the days when the pin's in the back, you're hitting driver, because if you do hit a good drive, all of a sudden you have a 9-iron pitching wedge in on a hard hole where you can actually attack it. But if I can't attack that pin, like today we could hit 3-wood, but it's like, even with a wedge in, it was going to be really hard to hit it anywhere near the pin. So why are we going to take this massive risk off the tee to ensure
maybe make a 25 par?
And now, I mean, this is somebody who made a bogey today, but at the same time is like, it had very little to do with what I did and more like a circumstance thing. Like we played that hole the right way. In my opinion, we didn't play it maybe for three, but it was the best way to make a four. And on a day where I guarantee that hole played over par.
What was the best shot you saw somebody else hit this week?
Keith Mitchell. It was maybe I've ever seen on 17 on Friday, pins left, front left, which is like basically like in the water. It's like those like floating, things people put in their pool now where you hit like a little chip shot.
The floating
targets.
It
looked like that, but it was like 320 yards away. And he drew a 3-wood. I hit a perfect 3-wood, I thought, to like 40 feet. And I was so proud of it. I'm like pimp stepping off the tee. And then he hit one that looked like it touched the front edge of the hole, went to like 2 feet. It was the best shot. We were holding our breath. There's this weird thing about 16 and 17 here where I always want my playing competitors, and especially because so many of them are my friends, I want them to play well. I want to beat you when you played great. Like that's what I want. I think that's what a lot of guys want out here. So we root for each other, but like 16, 17, you really are rooting for people because there's so much extra going on that you really want to see them succeed, because it's just like, it's intimidating. It's a lot going on. You don't want to hear, you know, your friends get booed. I mean, in a funny way, yes, but not like because they actually failed. And, you know, Keith gets up there and I thought he made a one on 17. It was a phenomenal golf shot.
It's weird. The only hole in one on a par four in PGA Tour history.
Hit another ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was Andrew McGee, but
yeah, the first backstopping in history. Shout out Tron Carter.
But you know, like, I can't believe there hadn't been another one.
It is with shocking, just considering that there are so many short par fours. But it also,
I mean, it's 320 yards of making still like
one. I mean, he had a three wood that was the best shot I've ever seen, and it didn't go in.
I've seen
a lot more shots go in playing out here. So that was a kind of an odd one.
So you have a story we're going to end on. You've got a story from the week. It was a great, I just want to say it was a great week to be out there and watch you. I appreciate you not being frustrated with me and all my friends.
Not at all.
Ticket requests. But, you know, I know we were starting this. I wanted to see what was going on. There were times where it was not going the way that you hoped. And then there was times where it was awesome. I wasn't out there on Saturday. I didn't see the 64. I was following along online. We were doing stuff around the house, but I don't know, man. It's cool to see you in this place, dude. Like,
thank you.
You played really well at Torrey. You played well here. You're going into 2 weeks, Pebble Beach and Riv, two golf courses that you call your two favorite golf courses in the world. And I mean, the confidence has to be there for you to go into this thing and think, no matter if it's a top five guy, the big gallery guys we were talking about earlier, I feel like you've got to feel like they've got to come play me kind of right now, the way you're playing.
Yeah. The confidence was in a cool way. The confidence has been there for a few months. And being more comfortable in my own skin out there has been there. Finally, the golf is following how I feel. But it's been a fun, it's getting to the point where instead of saying what I was about to say, which was it's been a fun run, I feel like old me again a little bit, where I don't feel like I'm on a heater. I don't feel like I found something. I feel like this is golf.
Who again. You are.
Yeah. And that's how I used to feel. And, you know, college is obviously a completely different thing, but in the beginning of my career, but I used to feel like my good average golf was plenty good enough to do something decent. And I would always hope that my great golf was good enough to do something great. I'm starting to believe and see the results in that. And that's what's fun, is I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, results come. And that's been a welcome change to you know, grabbing the steering wheel as tight as I possibly can and praying to God I remember how to drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope I
can. Yeah,
that guy would have not hit 3-iron on 15.
Hell no.
No.
That guy was just happy at the fairway.
I want to hear your story.
Okay, well, so I want to first shout out my friend Steven Silver, Stevie F Baby on Instagram. Just make fun of his name. Because I do want to tell one time.
I like the handle, though.
Somewhere down the road, Steven and Rory McIlroy story, because it's fantastic. But okay, here's my story from the week. I'm going to preface it with, right after I saw this, I saw, and this is where I labeled, girl crying by front, by the valet. There's a girl in a pretty dress, bawling her eyes out and being consoled by just random people. And it just, I looked at it, I was just like, man, you know, like how in Step Brothers you say, like, the Catalina wine mixer.
Right.
It's like the Waste Management.
The Waste Management, like, this, Phoenix
Open. I don't
open.
Know what's going on. No one does. She's just drunk, like crying drunk. But this story labeled Two Girls, One Cart. I come in after Saturday round, play great. You know, run into Mandy Baleonis, who's one of my favorite people in this whole world. And she comes over to me. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I'm going to get an interview with her in CBS. And of course, I didn't. But I did think that for one moment.
So
and
excited.
I was pretty excited. And she goes, do you see what's going on behind me? And I'm like, no, but like, do you want to go do the interview? I was like, no. And I look behind and there's this girl and she's doing the, she's in pretty like sundress and she's doing like the where you take your hand and you put it out straight and then you touch your nose and then she's touching her toes and it looks like she's kind of in trouble. There's a few cops around her, but it's not super intense. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, what happened? She said, they're doing a sobriety test because her and her friend, and there's her friend I finally see to her left doing the same exact thing. Her and her friend apparently just stole a golf cart and started driving it on the golf course and hit two people.
What?
And I said, well, I think the sobriety test is over.
Right.
Because they're drunk.
Yes.
Like, I think that there's no one quite dumb enough to do that.
Right.
So they're wasted. So I think that they were just screwing with them, making them do the sobriety test just so they could say, like, okay, well, like, you're still going to jail. Right. Like, you failed. But it was fun to watch you fail.
Man, stealing a cart.
In front of, I mean, there's a lot of people.
And you know what? And I want to shout this out because you mentioned this to start the week. The Thunderbirds, the Waste Management, all the entire tournament. The security there is unbelievable.
The amount of things that go on are so small compared to what you think could go on. Right. I mean, a lot of stuff can go on.
There's 300,000 people there in one day.
Yeah, we're complaining about people yelling at stuff. I'm just happy no one tackled me.
Right. And you're saying, so you've got to find a car with a key.
Which I don't know how any of this happened.
I mean, that is next level.
Yeah, that's,
so you think the field sobriety did not go well. That was, by the way, if you're listening to this,
it looked good.
Do not steal any golf carts at any tournaments. Please, for
now
the love
that
of God, don't
hit
anybody.
I think the girl crying by front was their friend, but she got away.
She wasn't on the cart.
So she was crying. No, she might have been, but she got away and was crying because her friends were going to jail. And she was drunk and then felt bad that she wasn't still part of the party because now she was singled out.
That party's
just
going
a thing, right?
That party's going one place and one place only, and you don't want to go there. No fun.
But I mean, they probably didn't realize it till the morning. What
yeah,
even
that's
happened,
exactly so right.
I guess that's
you've got Pebble next week and exciting. I know you're excited to play with
playing with the best football player I've ever seen play football.
Aaron Rodgers. And so you've got a little college love going in that.
We got a lot of college love.
So what's
mostly college love?
What are the chances you guys as a team really compete in this thing?
I think it's high.
Okay.
Oh, we have a great group chat going. His caddy, Eric, my caddy.
All four.
Joe. Oh, we're real down. We've had some FaceTime sessions just prepping the week. We have our practice schedule all laid out.
FaceTime.
If you guys aren't surprised, like, Aaron is pretty competitive. So
he's been working. He's telling you he's been hitting range balls.
He's
getting ready
the last week. He said he's feeling better. He's been on this move because you know, it's on the news, but he has a nice big old house now. So I think that takes time to move into. But he's been playing some golf in SoCal. He got up to Pebble today, I think. I'm going to see him tomorrow afternoon. I'm excited. I've watched him play before. He's a really good golfer. Obviously is super athletic, very cerebral. He gets the game. So it'll be fun. I'm actually really excited to watch him like in, you know, kind of in his element in a way, as far as competition goes, but it'll be fun. I love Aaron. He's been nothing but great to me. He is the perfect kind of intense. He wants to win more than anything in the world, but he also gets what we do. And I think that's what's so cool about meeting athletes that aren't golfers, like the real athletes. They appreciate what we do, and it's cool because I don't even appreciate what we do. I think it's stupid, but I think what they do is tenfold better.
Well, it's the whole you know, like musician athletes. Everybody wants to be the other one, actor.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you always want to do the thing that you don't do because it looks like so much fun, right?
Yeah,
and like. You're thinking that, but I'm sure, I mean, for God's sakes, I'm sure they all would love to just be able to hit it like that.
Yeah,
once
sure.
around.
Yeah.
You hit your driver good this week. After did you not hit it great the first day? And
no.
Then after that, it was pretty good.
Yeah. The first day I would label as it was either perfect or horrendous. And there was not even a close in between.
There was a couple spots. You were on 11.
Dude, a couple.
You were on 11 and you hit an unbelievable shot, but where you were on 11. I was like,
yeah, not great.
This is like, again, I was like, I've hit it here for God's sakes. I appreciate it. This was fun. We'll do it again next week. Do us a favor before you go. Follow at Get a Grip Pod on Instagram. Follow Max on social media if you don't already. At MaxHoma23 on Twitter and newly to Instagram. He just found out about it. He never even knew what it was. At Max.Homa, already verified, already to 10,000 followers. It's already annoying. He's going to have like 100,000.
Yeah, well, you're annoying. You already have at Shane Bacon. There's no numbers. There's
that was early. You got to be early
on.
So
Shane
you
Bacon.
Should get on like TikTok now so that in 5 years when we tell you.
I don't think I belong on TikTok at all.
Yeah, you're too old for that now.
Yeah.
And do us one more favor. Rate and review the podcast. We're new. We're chasing all these other podcasts, hoping to catch them. We need you to rate and review it for that to happen. It takes 2 seconds. Max promises if you rate and review,
oh boy,
he will He will allow you to grab out of the gift card.
Oh,
grab
sure,
bag.
Yeah.
We'll have a side one. It'll be like dollar Apple card.
And I think that's as high as they go.
We're just taking shot after shot at potential sponsors. Let me tell you something. The quesadilla burger at Applebee's is bomb. If you haven't had it, you're not going to have it. We'll get into this next week, but Max is done eating meat, and we'll leave it at that.
And
Max,
Applebee's. And Applebee's.
Have a great week, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Max tees off on Thursday at Pebble Beach. You follow along with that and Aaron Rodgers. It'll be exciting. Don't have the tee times yet, of course, but we will tweet that out. From accounts and all that. And yeah, we're excited about it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Get a grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. It's a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.